Gamble on Love, starring Zach Bryan, will not be heard at this time, so that we may bring you the following.
This is Gordon Pepper, and, you know, game shows are about gambling as we segue from Doug Morris into this segment. And sometimes you gamble and win, sometimes you gamble and lose. You know, we spoke about the $750,000 gamble last week in the Big Brother house. This week, we're going to an island for a different reason, and we're gambling on Jeopardy, and we're doing all sorts of stuff. As a matter of fact, we're gambling on percentages this week is our game.
Well, yes. Well, gambling is all about percentages. Take it from a dice degen like myself.
And, of course, a blackjack and pie gal person like Gordon, of course.
Hello.
Yes. Oh, and by the way, Gordon, next week, because it is your birthday, we're going to preview next week already. You're wearing the Panama hat next week, right?
Oh, boy. Yes, I am.
Yes. It will be at Dr. Gordon next week. But this week, it's time for percentages and all that other good stuff. So, if you would, Chico.
From somewhere in America, WLTI is on. Let's go.
Bottle on the music. Welcome to episode 465 of the World's Strongest Game Show Podcast here at 5-1. My name is Jason Block, strength and conditioning coach, all-around good guy. I am with my brothers from another mother, Chico and Gordon. Gentlemen, how are you?
Doing well, I hope you are.
I do, but I need the cue to go to the island, if you would, please. It is time. It is the time in a Survivor player's life that they always want to get to. When boats come to different parts of the island to bring you all together and sort of merge, kind of,
but not really. I don't know.
So here's what happened. All the members of the surviving 13 are brought to the part of the island. And someone finds a note that says, you must read this all together. Okay? And they do. And they basically say, you're going to go through a very, very, you know, nasty physical challenge. Oh, by the way, there's an advantage somewhere on the island. Find it now. Get going. And they're like, oh, crap. So they start looking for a minute. And, well, eventually, they start chilling and the only person who looks at it is Genevieve and finds the little buoy in the water and says, it's mine, it's mine. You understand? Mine, mine, mine. Go, go, go. Down, down, down. So she's
a...
Thank you, Debbie Block.
Okay. So we get eventually to the merge challenge. And Jeff asks, who found it? And it's Genevieve. It's like, oh, so here's what's going to happen. Chico, explain what's going to happen.
Okay, so Jeff divides the teams into two with one person left out. The twist this season is that the winning team wins a meal reward. Those six players would compete against each other for individual immunity instead of team immunity. Genevieve's advantage is to not participate in the team challenge and instead advance straight to the individual portion and automatically earn the food reward.
Yay.
Which is good. Okay. Here is the team challenge. Each member of the teams has to go under a mud soaked obstacle and get on the mat. When all team members get on the mat, then they have to go up and down through a bunch of wood chippers. Wood chips. They basically look like they're being tarred and feathered. Then they have to clear debris inside a cage and then lift out a heavy bunch of coconuts to eventually find the puzzle ball. Once they eventually get to the bag and lift it out, slide it down and bring it onto the mat, they all must get up this basically the warped wall, right? I think it's kind of like the warped wall.
Yeah, it's kind of like the warped wall. And once they all get to the top, the first team that gets to the top advances to...
No. You forgot one thing. Right. They get up to the top, and then two people have to do the levitating maze labyrinth thingy put the in the middle. And then what happens is that once that happens, the losing team goes back to camp with nothing. Well, they go back and sit down and watch these other six yutzes do a balancing challenge. And we've seen this one before. So who won the six? Who were the six who won?
All right. So the teams were Sierra, and this is by schoolyard pick, by the way. Sierra, Rachel, Sam, Sue, Kyle, and Teeny on yellow. And on blue were Rome, Caroline, Andy, Gabe, Tiana, and Sol.
Blue lost, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Okay, so yellow moves on to the balance, the individual immunity challenge, which is balance.
Balance a ball on a pole while you're balancing on a beam.
Yeah, we've seen this before, and the winner is Kyle.
Yep.
Kyle is the first person to become a member of the tribe. Now, everybody, including Kyle, gets to have their feast, but everyone's there like, well, a few people are getting a little, getting a little lit, if you know what I mean.
And you know what? When you get a little bit sauced, ideas tend to be thrown around, and one of them was to vote Rome out because of the friction he tried to cause amongst everybody else.
No. But they're all going, wait a minute. We're kind of in the same boat as Rome, but Rome should be the guy to go out, right? Right. Okay, cool. So eventually we get to the immunity challenge. I mean, we get to tribal council. And something kind of cool happened, you know? Because Rome eventually said, you know what? I want to explain to everybody... I want to explain to everybody why the triple immunity thing, you know, is going to be used tonight and why. And he says, and he goes, Jeff, can I sit down? And he goes, sure. And then Rome decides to host the show for 5 minutes. And it was awesome, by the way. It was really great.
I hope you enjoyed that. Just saying.
What did you say?
I hope you enjoyed that. Just saying.
Oh, I know, because he got his behind voted out. I believe it was like 10-1-1 or something like that.
No, it was 10-2-1.
Yeah, 10-2-1. And Rome is roaming off the island. Okay? Rome,
if you want to, roam around the world.
I was wondering when we're going to be getting that. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So...
Could this have been another case of somebody playing a bit too hard at the merge? I mean, somebody wanting to have a...
No. This was, and Gordon, this was the final result of weeks of tension, and it's like, this was the right time to do it. Goodbye.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
I'll even be more blunt. Everyone needed to use Rome until nobody needed to use Rome. So he burned while everyone else fiddled.
Yes. I see what you did there.
Very nice.
Okay, so...
Thank you.
So, hopefully Andy finds a way to get out of trouble, because right now, he's the target, because Plan B.
Yeah, go ahead.
Anyway, from an island in the stream to a backlot in Culver City. Mr. Gilbert, please.
From the Alex Trebek stage at Sony Pictures Studios, this is Jeopardy!
And we have an actor playing the game this week. Unfortunately, it is not Emma Stone. We will get to that after we talk about Rishabh Whoopalapati playing his fourth game on $52,802. He's up against Kyle Compton Trosh from Cincinnati and Kelly Gates from Medford, Mass. Going into the final, Rashab has 11,800. Kyle has 5,800. Kelly has 13,200. It's basically a two-person race, but Kyle can still spoil with this Final Jeopardy in literary geography. Here's the clue. A New York Times article recognized Sands Point and Kings Point as the real old money and nouveau riche settings in this novel.
Pick me!
Go ahead. It's only my favorite novel ever, Jay.
Oh, real? For real? For real, real?
For real, real.
So what did you think of the adaptation of Jay-Z and the Great Gatsby?
I liked it.
So everyone got it right.
Yeah, wait. What about my answer?
What is your answer? I'm sorry.
It wasn't what is the Great Gatsby. Is what was the mediocre Rome?
Oh, very good.
Very nice.
Getting out of Survivor at this point, it's sort of mediocre. It's not terrible, but it's not great.
No, it's not. So Kyle almost doubles. The job doubles. Kelly beats him by a dollar, and she's the new champion. However, we're going through pretty much Wheel of Champions this week, and including today with now Brett Kelly, who was the son in Bad Santa. Okay, unfortunately for him, it's Bad Jeopardy, as he did not make the final round. It's a lock game for our new champion, Will Wallace, in this category, the Roman Catholic Church. The clue. This day, involving the Holy Spirit and the apostles, is sometimes described as the first day of the church.
Oh, okay. I know this because Kristen Sosville was a friend of mine. What is the Pentecost?
That is absolutely correct. No one got it right, but Will best only $800.
Me.
Gordon.
Go ahead.
And obviously carrying on a theme because it's Roman. What is a Roman holiday? As in a holiday off the island.
So at this point, Will is a two-day champion going into next week, next game, which is tomorrow. Excuse me. Now, we need to go to the work world, and Gordon, I have your issue, okay? Because this week in the work room...
Do you have the full subscription or just the issue?
No, I have the full damn subscription. Let me explain why.
Excellent.
Okay. So what happened was that it was a global lip sync Lollapalooza, which means the eliminated contestants were going for $50,000. But you know what they were doing.
I believe I can see my issue coming. Anyway, Jay.
Huh? Do you know what the lip sync was to? All RuPaul songs.
Yay.
Okay. And again, no global songs. No international songs. Everything is, well, English. Not global.
Yeah, I was going to say, could you at least have put a RuPaul song in Italian, Spanish, Norwegian, Rastafarian? There is no Rastafarianism, but, I mean, there is, but it's not language.
Yeah, nothing. Zero. Goodbye. Wrong. So, Zoe's amused, 50,000. That's nice. And again, our final four, which are, as we said, Nahelenia, Alyssa Edwards, Kitty Scott Claus, and Queen Kong, I believe are going to... There's the finale next week?
Or is it in a couple of weeks? Next week is the run-up to the finale, I want to say, but...
No, they're saying it is the finale.
Oh, really? Next week.
Yeah. So I'll ask that. Who wins? Is it going to be Alyssa? Do you think they're gonna switch it up a bit? Because I think they're gonna do it Alyssa Edwards. I do.
Alyssa Edwards is gonna win this. I don't see any situation where they would like to switch things up. And they have not switched up in like 15 years. Why would they start now?
I'll play the defense here. I think giving Alyssa Edwards the title is a bad idea for two reasons. Number one, out of everybody that's left, she's got the least number of challenge wins, I believe. I know she's only got two. I know at least two other queens have got more than she does. Even though she's never been at the bottom, so you can make that argument.
You are absolutely correct. Kitty Scott Claus has three. Nahalenia has one. And Queen Kong has three. So if you're
do I think she makes it to the finals? Sure, if she's against Nahalenia. But I think that if I think she loses to either Kitty Scott Claus or Queen Kong, whoever she's in the final against, because it certainly won't be against Delania.
No. Yeah.
So my thought even is it could be Alyssa versus Delania, and then Kitty Scott Claus versus Queen Kong. In the real, here's who should be winning, and then whoever wins that beats Alyssa Edwards. Alyssa Edwards is one hell of a lip syncer, but she doesn't deserve to win this. And I love her. I think she's great. She's one of my faves. But based on body of work, I don't think she deserves to win this. I think she deserves to be in second. And I think if you're going to have an American win Global All-Stars, the American has got to be above and beyond everything in order to win. And I don't think the right person wins if it's Alyssa. Sorry. I'm going to say Kitty Scott Claus.
I was just about to say, Alyssa Edwards doesn't win. If for some reason she does not win, then Kitty Scott Claus would be my favorite, because she has just been slaying everything she's been doing, and the results of the contest so far have met that out.
Indeed.
Yeah, and I would even, if Queen Kong gets to the end against Alyssa, you know, they went against each other in episode one, and that was considered a draw. Maybe we get a rematch of that?
Well, here's the problem. Okay. I'm actually feeling what you're feeling is that this so-called global all-stars has really not been very global. And it's really starting to wear on me a little bit.
Yeah, and you could sort of tell, again, the English-speaking queens have the advantage. Not a surprise that all four of them that happen to know English is, I mean, they all know English, but you understand where I'm coming from.
No, I don't.
I would love to see Alyssa Edwards win just because I love her, but from a Gordon Take the Truth theorem, who deserves to win this? It's not Alyssa Edwards. It's Kitty or it's Queenie.
It is. It definitely is. We now need to just go quickly to something that you guys need to talk about. It's a little mini review of a mini fight, which is called Best Bite Wins on Roku. What do you got?
It's a mini bite. It's a mini show. It's six episodes. It's half an hour long, and it's on the Roku channel. So if you have the app, you can watch it there. But basically, you have Josh Peck and Monte Carlo hosting a series of parties, and six chefs are cooking. Not these big elaborate dishes, but little tiny appetizers. And whoever has the best bite of every episode, and by the way, these elaborate parties are very elaborate. We're talking a lot of guests, life-changing sort of situations, and the best bite moves on it to the next episode. And at the end, one chef goes home. At the end of the whole season, one chef will go home with $25,000 cash money. And here's what I like about it, and this will start the good. This turns everything on its head by we're not having culinary experts judge.
Hey Chico, I actually want to reverse this. Let's go with the bad first, and I'll explain why I want to go with the bad first and the good second.
Okay.
So let's start with the bad, and you can go first.
All right, so the bad, Josh Peck looks like he is panicked. He looks like he is just stayed. He's just playing by the numbers. He's not really feeling the competition as it should be felt.
I'm also going to add that I'm not sure what this is trying to be. If it's supposed to be serious, if it's supposed to be silly, a combination on both, with the elaborate parties, this could have been something more than what it actually is, Chico, if you were feeling what I'm saying.
I'm picking up what you're putting down, dog.
And I agree with you with the host. The host is very, very green on this. And I'm going to disagree with you on the concept because it's been done before. It's been done on Top Chef with the Amuse Bouche. With the Amuse Bouche. Gordon can't pronounce anything correctly today. With the Amuse Bouche. But more importantly, there's been a show, I'm blanking out on the name of it, but it's like Survivor Games, something like that, where you're cooking out and it's in the rough. And what determines whether or not you win or not is the one bite final challenge at the end.
Extreme Chef.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I knew it was there somewhere in my brain somewhere.
Well, it was in my brain, so I helped you out there. But
I appreciate that. But yeah, that's for me, that's the bad. And there's a decent amount of it on that. I'm sorry.
And then there's the good, and this is really the one thing that makes it stand out from the pack, is that you're not getting culinary experts to judge these things. You're getting average people, the party guests of every episode, are judging these things.
Top Chef Online 1, thank you very much.
Well, no, I'm not even gonna go Top Chef, even though Top Chef has done that. I'll disagree with you, and I'll put on a show that I can tell you did it because I was one of the judges, and that's 24-hour restaurant battle, season 1, episode 7.
So I could tell that this show on Roku, is just going to be as memorable as that show. Although I will say that I liked 24-hour restaurant battle, and I thought that was a very good show. It was a very well-judged
show. That was the best swordfish I have ever tasted. The judging was fantastic, Chico. Don't you dare critique the judging.
I'm not critiquing the judging.
No, but seriously, what did you think about this show?
Okay, this is actually what I liked about it, even though I'm sort of ripping Chico here a little bit because the concepts aren't new at all. There's nothing new in the concepts.
But
here's what I do like about it. I like the fact that Roku has taken a chance on this. I like the fact that Roku has put out a blueprint of, you see, you can do original shows without spending a dump truck load of money, and here's how you do it. The fact that they're doing the party, that they didn't need to get major stars and major guests, only help with their budget. So some of this is very shrewd and very clever on that part, and that I will agree with Chico on.
And probably, I bet you these parties were paid for by the clients themselves.
Of course, which is even better.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And Roku
offset the cost. Okay. So
I'm sure Roku said to these parties, hey, you know what? We'll pay for the party. Give us a little bit of money and we'll put your party on TV. Yay. And I'm sure everybody said, you know what? Sure, we'll do it for you.
And we'll even cater it.
Absolutely. So in terms of a grade, I'll even admit this is too high, but I'm giving it a B, not because of the show itself, but because of the platform that it's on with Roku. I think it's great that they're doing that. I'm all for it. It is not a horrifically bad show. And some of the concepts we haven't seen in a while. And so, therefore, I want to see more of this, and I hope it does well. I hope that opens up the door for Roku to go, okay, well, this didn't suck that badly. It didn't hurt. Let's see what else we can do.
I agree with that. That's a good show. Chico, your grade?
I will go B minus because the platform given it is a real plus, but I am judging this as a show on a platform, and as revolutionary as it is on the Roku platform, it's just not that darn memorable.
I don't think Chico's wrong here. As I said, I know already that the grade's probably higher than what it should be. So I don't think Chico's got a bad grade on it at all.
No, not at all. No, B minus is right. Unfortunately, we have to remember two people this week. One, no relation, but somebody who legitimately is somebody who, without him, Game Show Network would not exist.
Yes, we are talking about the former president of Kaiser Broadcasting and an adjunct associate professor at the University of Southern California School of Cinematic Arts, Richard Dick Block. Again, no relation. Died at the age of 97.
That's a good run.
Yeah, 2 months shy of his 98th, believe it or not. On the business side of things, he worked in the entertainment industry, including serving as the top executive of Kaiser Broadcasting, where he conceived and executed a plan to build independent television stations in 7 of the top 10 national markets: Boston, Chicago, Cleveland, Detroit, Los Angeles, Philadelphia, and San Francisco. He was also the executive vice president for the TV station division of Metro Media before it was sold to Fox, where he negotiated with Ted Turner CNN to give his stations regular broadcast access to national and international news coverage.
Yes, but the big thing is that he launched a little thing called the Travel Channel, which, by the way, is great, but also launched the Game Show Network for Sony Pictures Studios. So for everyone who has watched the Game Show Network for, what is it now, almost 30 years?
Almost, it'll be 30 years this December.
December 1st, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
Yeah, December 1st, yeah.
And that's crazy when you think about that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I imagine that Richard Block is somebody who took a look at what the market was doing and thought, why can't we do that all the time? Because if you remember 80s and early 90s, what was the dominant television form in the afternoon and the morning, especially on cable?
Talk shows at the time.
But on cable, though.
Game show reruns, yes.
Yes.
But the thing is that you put it in one place, and then you had Fremantle's library, but now you have a place where game shows are loved. And remember, over the last 30 years, remember, in the mid-90s, and Gordon, you'll understand that game shows were on the wane up until around 1999, okay? We're continuing to be on a 25-year run right now, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and you're talking about Fremantle. Keep in mind, during the whole run of Game Show Network, and if we made this a real thing, we could be here for another 40 hours.
Yeah.
You know, you had Chuck Barris. You've had his library. You've had a bunch of other libraries. You've had some weird shows. You've had documentaries. You've had their forays into reality shows. So you've had a little bit of everything. And again, we talk about the people in front of the camera, and a lot of times we need to give more focus to people behind the camera as well. This is one of those times.
Indeed. And Richard Block should be thanked by every game show fan that we know. And I mean, seriously, he should. He really
is. Without question.
Without question. Moving on to the second one, which broke this afternoon.
Yes.
Now,
go ahead.
This one is a little bit more esoteric, because this man only hosted one show, but it was a very interesting show. Okay. Ron Eli is better known for playing Tarzan in the 1960s on TV. Okay. The more famous one being Johnny Weissmuller of the 40s and 50s. Okay. But he hosted a game show in 1980, I believe it was, called Face the Music. Okay. And it was only on for about 18 months, but at a couple of the game show throwdowns we were at, we played Face the Music. It's an interesting game show. And he was very good at it, too.
I actually created a puzzle set for Face the Music at the Throwdown.
Yes,
so I'm very aware with that show. Ron Eli is very understated. He was really, really good. And to be quite honest, I'm really surprised that was the only show. When I saw that, I'm like, wait, that was the only one? Really?
Yeah.
You know, he should have been on a lot more.
He should have been.
To be blatantly honest, he was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the thing of it is, during that time, Ronnie Lee was hosting the Miss America pageant, which is, I believe, what got him the job on Face the Music.
Right. And it was also, if you also remember, again, thank you Wikipedia for this, it was also done by the same company, Sandy Frank Production, who did the other more famous show, Name That Tune. Okay? A lot of the band members were interchangeable. So it was very interesting, you know? It, the fact that it was sort of a spinoff of Name That Tune, which, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was a good show. I think Face the Music, because Face the Music was a very interesting format. I think it could come back, but I think Ron Feel like should have had more shows than he did. He did one, and I'm surprised it was just one, as you said. So, on that note,
can we have a moment of silence, please?
Yes, please.
Thank you.
Now we move on to something that happened tonight as we record this on Wednesday, October 23rd. Ryan Seacrest has popped his, well,
whoa, 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 whoa.
You'll say, well, you know what? Why don't you just put up the screen here and let's see what we got, because this is from Sony Pictures Studios. We have the bonus round from tonight's Halloween week. Let's see what we got.
Do. And suffice it to say, Jackie Picori had a really good night.
At the team with you tonight here, who is over there cheering on?
I have my son Adrian and my husband Joey.
Hey guys. Anybody nervous?
No.
All right, over here, she's not nervous. It's been a big night so far. Give the wheel a spin. Let's see what it is. Wait for the sound effect. Here it comes. See, I'm catching on. All right, come on down here with me.
The S in spin.
D.
Mm-hmm. The constant.
H. C.
One vowel.
O.
Okay. Let's take a look. Let me get there. There. I'm just going to go down. Good start. All right. So you've got 10 seconds to find solve this phrase. Good luck.
Huddle around.
And you did it.
Congratulations, Daddy. Are you ready to see this?
In case you didn't hear what he said, $114,800 in cash and I believe a trip to Romania or Transylvania. Transylvania is in Romania. I know this. It's a Rhodes Scholar tour of Romania. So, yeah, a really good night for Jackie. Congratulations to her.
I have a couple of notes on the presentation before we go into that. Sorry, I muted myself because I was listening. Number one, did you also notice that Vanna came over and congratulated the contestants? I don't think we've seen that before.
I don't think we've seen that before. That is new. And also, they didn't do the post. They didn't do the post-game chat. They went right into the credits.
Which I think was also a little touch here and there. But, yeah, congratulations. So, money, 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 baby. That's it. So, not scary. So, we've got what's happening for the rest of the show.
Okay, still to come, we are going to play the percentages. But first, it's all the news you didn't even know you needed to know with Gordon Pepper and Jason Block. My name is Chico Alexander. Stick and stay with 5-1. You're home for We Love to Interrupt. You give us 22 minutes.
And we'll give you 22 different merchandising opportunities that you can use for Janky AI. The new Janky bot. The Janky AI t-shirt. The Janky
The Janky clock. Chico knows what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean.
The overrated Mario clock. Sorry. Anyway, we'll do it right after this, and believe me, I think I know what break one's going to be. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
Disaster victims need your help today. Throughout the United States, disasters are destroying homes and devastating lives. Disasters like the recent hurricane. You can help victims of disasters by supporting the American Red Cross Disaster Relief Fund. This fund enables the Red Cross to provide shelter, food, counseling, and other assistance to victims of disasters. To find out how you can help, call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org today.
While it is sponsored by Kentucky Fried Tar Heels, will not be about North Carolina athletics because I like to see the good instead of the bad sometimes. And North Carolina is such a butt of jokes right now between the Panthers and UNC that instead of that, let's congratulate the Duke Blue Devils for beating Florida State for the first time ever. So congratulations to D-U-K-E, go Duke! 6-1. Congratulations to them. That is Kentucky Fight Tar Heels. Ramsey's done right.
I'm stunned.
Gordon Pepper Karen.
Wow. Are you okay, Chico? Because I thought there was low-hanging fruit there.
We talked about all of this last night, and all I can say is I was expecting the worst.
By the way, I will give you each $1 million in fake money for each person that has the... No, never mind.
No.
Roll that beautiful green footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you very much, Doug Morse. As always, you can follow Doug Morse on all social media at Rock Tracks with Rock 104 Rock Tracks. I do this all the time. You would think I know it by now. Rock 104 Rock Tracks, Doug Morse Games, and Tracks Productions. And don't forget, he is on the air with Rock 104's Rock Tracks on WXRR Hattiesburg, 104.5 on your FM dial, and all over the known, because I don't have the Toy Galaxy guy on the board yet. Multiverse. On rock104fm.com, on the Odyssey app, and, of course, the WXRR Rock 104 app.
Yeah, so we moved a couple of notes, a news segment here. Talking about what Project Runway's on the move again? Wait, what?
Yes.
I thought they had a channel.
They did have a channel. Now they have another channel. And that kicks off.
Yes, business. Yes, business time.
I know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time.
Ooh. Yes, business. Yes,
all right. Business. Remember when it was? Remember when Project Runway was the crown gem of the Bravo lineup?
Yep, not anymore.
Nope. Moving to Freeform and Hulu.
And right. I thought we talked about where they were last week. So we did, but okay. Cool.
Yeah. Did we? Okay. Well, we'll talk about it again.
We'll talk about it again. So, but the bigger news this week is that we have the French syndicated network shopping show, which used to be the, what was the name of that convention? That was down in New Orleans every year. NAPI. That's right. The NAPI of France, which is called MIPCOM.
Yes,
going on over there?
That is the Marché International de Proclame de Communication, or MIPCOM. And that is basically where all the world's broadcasters buy and sell the next great formats. For example, we have a lot of examples, so pay attention. All right, so Trivial Pursuit on the CW. The format is going to be shopped around by Hasbro and Talpa.
Okay.
And then BBC is focusing on games like the 1% Club and the Answer Run. And then we have the Traders going to Korea. And Sony shopping the Ultimate Hustle, which is a business reality format.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Netherlands are picking up I Kissed a Girl from RTL. And then we have the International Format Awards, which were awarded this past week. Studio Lambert, owned by All Three Media, snagged prizes for Squid Game The Challenge and The Traitors. So yeah, a lot of stuff coming down the pike. Who knows, we may see some of it stateside very shortly.
Hmm. And, but we also have a couple of Datebook episodes. Pretty light week this week as we head towards scary season, and then Mariah gets defrosted and we're all screwed for the next 8 weeks. Yes, all I want. Yes. Thursday, as we recorded the 350th episode of Hell's Kitchen on Fox. Friday on Whose Line is Lauren Cohen and Jeff Davis. Sunday is the season finales of Halloween Wars and Outrageous Pumpkins on Food and Max, and the Halloween special on Pressure Luck, which I saw the preview for, looks great. Monday is the season finale of the Halloween Baking Championship. Tuesday is the season finale of Brownstone Hotel. And Wednesday is the Buy It Now premiere on Prime and Love is Blind reunion on Netflix. And I want to talk about something we did not talk about, I don't believe, on last week's Facebook.
What's that?
Which was the debut of Anna Kendrick's directorial debut on Netflix called Woman of the Hour, which is based off of the Rodney Alcala story, the dating game killer. And I'm going to have a review for that sometime soon, because I'm definitely going to watch it. So we'll talk about that. But let's talk about Dead App, though. And this one, I discovered. It was fun. Dead App, though, segment. All of us here love Scratchies.
Uh-huh.
I love...
Yes, we do.
And we also love game show-based Scratchies. Okay.
Yes.
Oh, we do.
And we have seen scratch-offs based off of Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy, The Price is Right, Deal or No Deal. I believe that. And right now, we have a brand new one. In the Virginia Lottery, we have three different versions of Let's Make a Deal. Okay? There is an online version where you could win up to $500,000. Okay? There is a print and play, and there is also a scratchy version of this, where you can, I just want to just make sure, new scratcher. Here we go.
Yeah, we have a printed play that could be played off of your computer, a traditional scratchy, and a digital mobile.
Right. And the traditional scratchy is $5. And all the top prizes are in there, and it's basically match and win. If you get a money bag, you win the prize shown. If you win a bar, it's an auto win. It's an all win, and the grand prize is $100,000.
Woohoo!
And it started. Now I know, Gordon, you go to Virginia occasionally.
I do. I will have to check it out when I go down there.
Yes, please. And that is smart. This, not so much.
Welcome to Dumb Decisions.
That's dumb.
You're so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
Okay. So, go ahead.
So, according to the fine folks at Fast Company, Mr. Beast, who is getting ready to maybe, possibly, perhaps, but kind of not likely, release Beast Games for Prime Video, his YouTube clout has taken a bit of a hit.
Okay.
Yeah, we're not going to go too much into the many scandals that he's had as of late, but his latest upload, 7 days exploring an underground city, amassed 56.5 million views within 4 days. For anybody else, that would be pretty killer. But for the most subscribed creator, it is lower than his averages and could be a sign of a broader decline.
Okay.
Well, Mr. Beast is now... Okay, I'll let Jay go first.
I'm just saying, okay, yeah. He's got a lot of issues right now, including allegedly some bad food with his Lunchables clone, the Mr. Beast Burger lawsuit, the Beast Games lawsuit. His image has been tarnished a little bit. This doesn't surprise me anymore. It doesn't.
No, I mean the bigger issue here is sometimes you're not satisfied, and when you're not satisfied, you want more. And when you want more, sometimes the more is good, and sometimes it's not.
It is not. So, I actually, you know what? I'm thirsty, and I want to give you a hatery, too, by the way. According to Matt Rogers, on his podcast, on the Last Culture Reaches podcast with Bowen Yang, Rogers said Chris Harrison, who was the host of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire at the time, did not like me, and I could tell, okay? Roger said that when he came back for a second episode, he accidentally flubbed his entrance, and he claimed that Harrison was visibly upset, okay? I messed up my entrance, and I didn't like that because it was the end of the day and we wanted to go home. He added that Harrison, who gave off a very, I'm over this, very tired energy, responded to the mistake with a forceful handshake. When I did my entrance to come out the second time, I went to shake his hand and he pulled my hand. You could actually see in the video me come off my feet a little bit because he was just trying to do a male dominant thing, like, don't mess around. He said he was a jerk. a total jerk. That's haterade. That's definite haterade. But you got something else, Chico.
I do have something else, and it concerns the former host of Legends of the Hidden Temple. After she...
Oh, not Kirk Fogg.
No, Kirk Fogg's fine. Nothing's going on with Kirk Fogg. We're talking about the other former host of Legends of the Hidden Temple, Cristela Alonso.
Oh, the new one.
Yeah, she played a sold-out gig at a hometown venue in McAllen, Texas on Saturday. And the staff kicked her out afterwards. In her Facebook, and she called them out on Facebook. Alonso thanked her fans for showing up and selling out the venue at the McAllen Performing Arts Center. However, she recalled how the staff kicked her and her family out at midnight during her meet and greet. She said there was no warning that she needed to leave by midnight. Alonso explained how she had to pack everything up and asked her fans to meet her outside the building to continue the meet and greet experience. This disrespect is something I'll never forget, that once we were outside taking pictures, they came to apologize and said we could go back inside. No, thank you. I will not go back inside when you forced us to leave. I will not go back inside that building again. I don't know when I'll come back to McAllen, but I'm going to have to figure out another solution. The fans were great. The venue sucked.
Well, you know what? That's a possible valid hatery. You know what I mean?
How is it valid?
Well, okay, if the venue kicked you out early and made a mistake, you know, not cool.
Ah.
You know? Not cool. But, so where are we sending Krista and Mr. Beast? Because I actually have a place where we can go to.
We're going to two places. We're going to South Africa, and we're going to the UK.
Oh, I'm going to the UK, too. So I'll add on. Go ahead.
All right.
So my UK is the fact that the Masked Singer UK has been renewed for not one but two series by the UK broadcaster ITV. The sixth season is currently in production, and there's also going to be a new digital series called The Aftermask, hosted by Harriet Rose. Okay? So that's cool. Not bad.
Also, also in the UK, ITV has greenlit their own version of Pictionary with Mel Kiperek as host. Supposed to be playing similarly to the syndicated show here in the U.S. But now we go over to South Africa, who just greenlit their own version of Drag Race.
That's right. No, because I have the media host for Canada's Drag Race. Okay. Oh, I have Canada's media host.
Okay.
For that one.
Froze. You have to.
Media froze. Sorry. Media froze. That's right. Yep.
I got pros. In different area codes.
In this week's Media Pro Report, we do have the Queens of the North for the new season of Canada's Drag Race. They are Helena Poison, Jaylene Time, Michaela Couture, Minnie...
Yes, Minnie Wang!
I'm 12.
That's one of the best drag names ever, by the way.
Perla, Sanjina the Bish Queen, Terra Nova, the Virgo Queen, Tiffany Ann Co. You, oh my god.
Get it?
Sorry, Tiffany Ann Co. Oh, yeah, I totally get it. Oh my god. And
Chico, I'm surprised. How can you not get that one?
I did get that one.
Eventually. I mean, would you like another one to be named Cartier and then you could really get it? They'll get you some coconuts?
I do not have that song on the board, I'm afraid.
But you should.
I should. My coconut. Anyway, elsewhere on the date book, we have...
I'll say, please, Chico, don't sing for 200, Alex.
Where the hell was... Oh, yeah. We also have Halloween details on The Price is Right with special guests Danielle Pinnock and Devin Chandler Long from a little show on CBS called Ghosts. You may have heard of it. We said goodbye to Mimi Hines and Michael Newman this week. Ryan Seacrest and Vanna White were spotted shooting B-roll in Myrtle Beach. Carly Waddell from The Bachelor is engaged to her dream man. Joey Grazia Day is causing strain in his relationship while Dancing with the Stars. Martha Stewart shoots down the Golden Bachelorette, saying the guys are not sexy enough.
Yeah, okay.
Jeremy Clarkson was apparently days away from what we in the medical trade call the Widowmaker. And speaking of...
Ooh.
Yeah. But he's on the mend. They put a stent in. He is now shooting a new season of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of the medical trade, Dr. Ken Jeong getting a star on the Hollywood Walk.
Yeah.
Didn't he get it today?
I believe he did.
Yeah.
Michelle Buteau has a new Netflix special coming out. But none of them are your pros or your one pro of the week.
Who is that?
And it is a big pro. The Anonymous has crowned its first ever winner. The winner was Nina Twine of Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Sandra's daughter.
At least we know there's something good coming out of North Carolina besides Duke. Just saying. And those are your hosts.
By the way, do y'all know who Nina Twine's mother is?
Yeah, we do.
Yes, we do. Okay. And that
it runs in the family. And those are your hosts.
And that is Brave Vision Jason, if you would, please.
Yeah, I'll shut down for the pros right now. Hit it. Now I did. And in our next and final, next round, we're going to do some numbers as we play the percentages. We'll be right back here at 5-1. Let's do it.
WLTI is presented by Legendary, Los Angeles Dodgers edition. Whereas we have club kids dressing up and doing their best reenactment of Fernando Mania. Rest in peace, Fernando Valenzuela. We love you.
El Toro.
Fernando Mania por siempre.
And that is 100% cool.
It is.
Even as a Yankee fan. So, but we are playing one of my favorite games, Play the Percentages, where we give scenarios and we tell what we think the numbers will be. For example, Chief.
All right. Okay, we talked about this in Haterade. Let's just rip the Band-Aid off. What is the percentage that Beast Games actually airs on Prime Video?
100%. 100%. They're going to put it to you this way. It's going to air like I thought Squid Game wouldn't air. It aired, okay? They did, so it's 100%. Sorry.
Jay's right, it's 100%, and you have to put it on the air just to try to recoup some of the money that you're going to lose on all the lawsuits that are going to be, coming in your direction. So, yeah, it's got to go on the air, regardless of people saying it's not. The only thing that will stop it, and we haven't seen it yet, is something from Standards and Practices saying, wait a second there, guys, something that you did is illegal or unethical in this game. You're not getting that. You're having a lot of people complain about how they were treated in the game, but that doesn't deal with Standards and Practices. So Jay's right, 100%.
Chico?
I'm going to go with 100% for all of the reasons stated. If you ask me, they're probably going to air the one season and then just be done with it, because from what I understand, it's too much for any one network or company to handle.
Like I said, we'll see. Yeah. By the way, you have all six? I'm just asking.
No, we can switch.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll give you one. Okay. Okay. What is the percentage that Ryan Seacrest gets a nomination for a Primetime Emmy Award this coming summer?
That's an easy one. 100%. 100%.
Okay.
Ryan Seacrest has proven himself more than able to fill Pat Sajak's gigantic shoes. And the clip that we saw earlier tonight beats that out.
I'm going to go 85%. Not 100. I think it's funny for me to say this. I think Seacrest has got to spend a little bit more time and earn the wings, so to speak. And I'm sure you're going to be saying, well, wait a second. He's done this and this and this. Yeah, but not on this stage. So a little bit more, but it wouldn't shock me if they go immediately. 85%.
I'm going to go in even a little lower direction. I'm going to say 75%. I'm saying that it probably will happen because, again, it's the big five. By the way, do not be surprised if Pat Sajak gets a nomination as well for Celebrity Wheel of Fortune. Do not be surprised as if Pat Sajak and Ryan Seacrest will compete against each other.
Well, being that we've already had two different iterations of Wheel of Fortune compete against each other for Best Game Show, no, that would not surprise me at all.
So, that's one. Who's got next?
I'll take the next one.
Okay.
So, Nina Twine has won for The Anonymous. Congratulations to her. Yippee. Now, we know that Mommy Sandra is showing up on Survivor Australia. Now, keep in mind, she's already shown up in Survivor Australia before, and she made it to the midway point until she got jettisoned. Her and Nina, by the way, both made it there, and Nina almost got to the end. What are the percentages that in the Global All-Star Edition that Sandra gets to at least the jury phase?
So are you why don't you change that to Global All Star Survivor 50, right?
I'm talking about Survivor Australia Global All Stars.
Yeah,
Australia versus the world.
Okay, I'm going to say 25% because I think people know her already. People know who she is, and her act may be wearing a little thin. 25%.
I don't know. I think that she doesn't get to where she is by playing just any other game. I think she has more game left to play. I'm going to go 50%.
I'm going to split it up the middle. I'm going to say 38.5%.
That would be 37.5.
37.5. I think she can be very dangerous the further along the game that she goes, especially in like a scenario like Heroes versus Villains. There are so many other characters that you need to get rid of that Sandra is not that much of a threat. And if she can play it that way, I think she can stick around for a while. Especially where she doesn't have any enemies like she did in All-Stars and in Game Changers who just wanted to get her out.
Makes sense.
Can I throw in sort of a bonus question to that?
Jay, you're going to have another one anyway. Chico, you're next.
Okay, fine.
All right. Staying in island territory and Survivor alums playing in island territory, we all know that Will Kirby and Parvati Shallow are going to be on Deal or No Deal Island in season 2. Rob Mariano got to the final episode, but crapped out just short of the final game of Deal or No Deal. What is the percentage that Parvati Shallow makes it to the final game of Deal or No Deal?
0%. She ain't as good as Rob, and she ain't that good. 0.
0%, but for a different reason. I don't think she'll get there, but I think Will Kirby will.
Going to be an interesting watch. Can't wait. I think it's going to be...
Chico, what's your number, Chico?
It's a... you know what? I'm not going to discount anything, so I'm just going to say 5%.
Mm-hmm. Okay, 5%.
Chico. Okay.
Yeah.
We're focused on Survivor, but for a different reason, okay? Since Survivor 50 is going to be filmed very, very soon, okay, because 48 is in the can, or at least should be in the can by now, right?
Uh-huh.
We're starting to hear about players that would be there and wouldn't be there. One of them is Richard Hatch. Give me the percentage of Richard Hatch playing on the 50th anniversary of Survivor.
Mm. 25%. It wouldn't be Survivor without the original winner, but at the same time, and I think we've all seen him in House of Villains this season, would he want to come back to that?
He's just on season 2. Of course he wants to come back to that. Let's not be dumb. And based on what I think Richard's going to go very far on House of Villains season 2, which leads me to believe that that's going to be a dress rehearsal for Survivor 50. The only thing that will stand within his way is how many bridges did he burn over in Survivor Land. I don't think he burned enough of them for them to not bring him back to play. 75%.
I'll split the mid-diddle and go, ironically enough, 50. Okay? Could be, could not be. We'll see. But there are so many people you could put in, and we could do a full segment on who would cast for Survivor 50.
You know what? That would be great to do next week.
Well, I mean, like a full special? Okay.
Our game we can do that, this, that, or the other. Anyway, I will take the last one.
Okay.
You know, we haven't spoken about The Price is Right on this episode. So let's talk about it. They just started the season. What are the chances, what's the percentage that we're seeing a new game out of them?
Right now, 0. And I'll tell you why. Because it would be publicized. It would leak somehow.
Not necessarily. Tic Tac Deal wasn't leaked at all. It was just there in the middle of the season. And it was actually taped near the end of the season. How do I know? Insider information. So with that knowledge, I'll say, though I agree, it's not in the pressers as of yet, but the tapings aren't done yet. So say 45%. There's a chance.
I'm going to say 30%. There is a chance. So, yeah, there's that. Okay, that is going to do it for Play the Percentages. And still to come...
You know, that's 100% fun.
That was 110% fun. That was more fun than we are allowed to have. You know what else is fun? A break. We'll be back with the big finish right after this.
WLTI has been brought to you by Flip That ACL. That's right, we're going to take the whole crappy ACLs that you have, torn, shredded to pieces, and you're going to flip them. Maybe Project One Mind style, let's see if they can get into a nice little dress, or a pair of shoes, or in a cast, because that's what you're spending the next year. Deshaun Watson hosts.
No, you got it wrong. It's not Deshaun Watson. It's Deshaun Diddy Combs, okay? Get it right.
No, it's Grover Cleveland. Get it right.
But you know what we do need to get right? A speed round, and we're going to start that now. Survivor, the Rome show is over. Which co-host is going to be next out the door?
Hey, watch what happens when Andy gets voted out.
Who?
Watch what happens. Andy gets voted out.
No, Andy does not get voted out yet. I'm going to say Cheney. He's in trouble, too.
I'm gonna take a different horse here. I'm going to say Sue, because she's been caught in a whole bunch of things.
Indeed.
That's possible.
Drag Race, who wins it?
I'm going to say Sydney Scott Claus beats Alyssa Edwards in the finals.
I'll go Queen Kong beats Alyssa.
I'll go Kitty Scott Claus beats Alyssa Edwards.
Okay, Jeopardy. Wheel of Champions.
Wheel of Champions. yeah, it's the wrong episode with the right premise.
Yeah, exactly. We got a $100,000 winner on Wheel of Fortune. Time for the million, ain't it?
If only it were that easy.
It was that easy. Somebody just had to get the puzzle right, and they didn't. So we've already had that piece of shenanigans. I think that it could happen this year. If it's in the stars.
We'll see. We will see.
Oh, and by the way, by the way, we had our latest, unmasked person on Masked Singer, the chess piece, boy. Laverne Cox from Orange is the New Black and bunch of other stuff. And also the movie The Ugly on Netflix. So, there's that. So, do we have any mail?
We don't, but if you want to send us some, our address is WLTIGameshowNewsNet.com. Also, you can follow us on all social media, GameshowNewsNet, and I am at Dino R. Alexander.
I am at Beat the Block, the number 2.
I am at GSN and Haterade.
And of course, the network is 5N1Net, that's the number 5ANDONENET, where we post about everything going on network-wide. For example, Jay, myself, BRM, and Ian talked about Week 7 in the NFL last night on the BS Big Show. And of course, the big news was DeSharvey Weinstein being ruled out for the rest of the season.
And more ACLs tearing than paper this week with Brandon Ayuk. Ugh, Brandon Ayuk and others, including Lamar. Diddy doing his, a lot of injuries this week and a lot of trades. And of course, we will continue to talk about all the action, and the Giants still suck. Yes, they do. So the Jets, by the way. But yeah, Gord, what's happening in the UVA? We're still in, you're still in fall season mode, right?
Yeah, we're in fall season mode. Everybody now has two tour stops under their belts, which means we're going to get the first top 50 coming out this weekend. Woohoo! And we just keep on rolling Halloween weekend. Let's get spooky.
Yep. Oh, and of course, ubatoday.info for all your Underground Bowling Association needs. Over at the NAWC, we have a pay-per-view this weekend, Halloween Havoc for NXT. The weekend, we're going to have a double taping in Brooklyn this weekend because people are going to Saudi Arabia that week, for, in about a week from Saturday, for Crown Jewel. We're also heading to Full Gear in AEW, and the Moxley takeover continues. And all the wrestling news we want to talk about on the NAWC with Nikki Hayman, myself, Fat Boy Josh Hager, and anyone else who wants to join in. Chico, it was a thing.
All right, so we are after midnight here on the East Coast. So new episode just dropped, and it is 2005's Kojak reboot. Was Ving Rhames half the man that Telly Savalas was? We'll talk about it. Also, we have Me and the Chimp, one of the 50 worst TV shows according to TV Guide. That's on the site as well. It was a thing on TV.com.
What's happening next week, Chico?
Next week, we crown a winner on Drag Race. We spin the Wheel of Champions. And I believe we will also have our very first Brutally Honest movie review.
Yes, I will be. Yes, I will be watching this weekend Woman of the Hour by Anna Kendrick. You should check it out too as well. So,
yeah. Plus, we're basically doing whatever Gordon wants because it's his birthday episode.
Yay! Yay!
So that is to look forward to next week here on The World's Strongest. For Gordon Pepper, for Jason Block, for everybody at 5-1, my name is Chico Alexander. Our time is up. We thank you for yours. Game over. And spread the love.
Good night.